what is shot in this line of the Gemara. So he pointed out that Rashi and Tosfos and a number of Rishonim said it's the heter of Lav Kederech Hanasan. Right, that's not, it's Latoko Asoi. It's not Asoi to Vatel on the outside. That's not the Derech Hanasa of a house. That's clearly, the normal Derech Hanasa of a house is not to walk outside. Like, some strangers might happen to do it sometimes, but that's not the way to, that's not the way to use a house. We pointed out that there was, this was controversial for two reasons. A, I think we pointed this out, why shouldn't there still be an Issur Darabanan? So maybe Tosfos, there's no Issur Darabanan, or you'll come up with a lot of explanations why there's no Issur Darabanan here, such as the easiest one being, it was a mitzvah d'rabban, so they were mekel. But the more fundamental question is there really a heter of Lav Kederech Hanasa, especially since most Rishonim hold that learn Chet Chet Truma, and that's not the Gufa, but Chet Chet Aleph, and that's why this is against the Shagas Aryeh and the Tosfos in Zvachim. I noticed also, not that this really changes anything, but there's a Tosfos on Hedjin Daf Pei that says the exact same line for line as Tosfos in Zvachim, so it's against two Tosfos. Okay, I mean, it's really the same Tosfos, just appears twice. Tosfos in Sanhedrin, in Zvachim, and Sanhedrin Daf Pei, both on the same sugya of like people getting mixed up with each other, and animals getting mixed up with each other, or Chayiv Misa. So, that is... that is one answer. Right, and we pointed out that, and this is what we'll have to come back to, there's a famous Chatir in the Achronim, right, all of the, I guess, 20th century Achronim have a famous Chatir in Me'ila, which, you know, it's tricky, because Me'ila comes up a lot in this Perek, and I think we're going to leave most of them, of course, about this Chatir for later in the Perek, Amir Tzashem, which, you know, we will get to, just if we extrapolate. How many daffin per week we do nowadays, we'll have plenty of time for, to get to the other Me'ila sugyas, later in the parak, that if Me'ila is mitam gezel, then it really makes no sense to say like Rashi and Tosfos here. If the chiv Me'ila is mitam gezel, it doesn't make any sense to say, well, there's no Isser in gezel, shalok in derech hanasan, but if the chiv of Me'ila is, if the chiv of Me'ila is mitam Isra Hana'a, then it makes a lot of sense that might tie into that lumdus.
What does it mean if you're being nana from the tail? You're not taking away from the tail.
Okay.
So therefore, the mail is based on what you get, and it's based on what you get, and if you get it in a different way, then it's not a full-fledged Maisizela.
Okay, so that is a very good point. That is a very good point, which I want to come back to. But theoretically, I mean, you could ask, sale of hektish, how is that ever a problem? How is sale of hektish ever a problem if Me'ilu is Ham Gezel? The answer might be that it's Gezel to get Hana from your property without permission. Even if I, take Gezel a little more broadly, meaning to get Hana from your property without permission might still be a kind of Gezel, even though whether or not you could sue me for it is controversial. That's assuming about whether I'm enough cup, right? Maybe you could sue me to get Hana from your property without permission, right? Many of the cases in Baba Kama Dachaf, you could sue me. Zenen is a chaser, or even Zenen is a lo chaser, we seem to assume for Hektish, Lekule Alma, Hektish could sue me. So this could be a Zenen of Zeh lo chaser, Zeh chaser, Zenen of Zeh lo chaser, Zenen of Zeh lo chaser is something you could sue me for. If it's something you could sue me for, then if I take it without paying, you could call that Gezel. Maybe it's not a Maisik Zeh Lamamish, but it could be within the realm of taking your money without permission. Right, because after all, you would sue me in court to pay for it. So it's quite possible, like some of the examples are, right, if you build a fence around my property and protect my property, you could sue me in court for being nana. So clearly there is, it's possible to say that even if I get hana without detracting from your item, that could still be b'chlal dini mamonos. Not impossible, although Rabbi Yosef Engel may ask him to write to deal with some of these cases and from this perspective, ayin sham. I forget the simon, but it should be easy enough to find. Now, but I want to come back to that because I still think you have a good point. It'll take me 20 minutes. Now, let us, of course, the problem, the problem here becomes, sorry, the problem that Tosfos has here is if we say sale is, If we say tzel is lav keder hanaso, then why does the Gemara of Avodah Zarah assume that the shade of an asherah tree is a big problem? If we assume tzel is lo keder hanaso, why is shade of an asherah tree problematic? That's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. So what is Tosfos' answer? Right? Why is tzel asherah aser? So the simplest shot is that trees are also to cast shade on the whole garden. Houses are only also to walk inside. You don't build a house for the outside, but you do build a tree. When people plant trees in parks, their intention is that it should cast shade in various places of the park. So it could be that an ilan is afilu lechutzolo asoy, right? To just paraphrase the Lashon of the Gemara, right? That, let's say, it's made to cast shade even not directly underneath it. So that's one possibility. Or Tosfos wants to suggest a second answer, which that this is very controversial. This is 2 days in Tosfos and Zara Dafu Beit. Avodah Zarah is usher afilu shelo keder hanaso, because it says lo yidbak yochal u'lumin acher, it doesn't have lashon achila. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah also suggests it's just a chumrah d'Avodah Zarah. We extra machmer to keep it far away from Avodah Zarah. Yes. Or, this is probably what most Rishonim would say, that all shelo kederach hanasan is still asur midrabanan. That is the simplest answer. If you assume that all shelo kederach hanasan is still asur midrabanan, like Rov Rishonim, then it's really no problem why the tel v'nasher is asur in Avodah Zarah. Because it didn't say it was asur d'oraisa. It just says that it was asur d'rabanan. And why would the rabbanim be makel there? It's not a special mitzvah to rob him or some other case where the rabbanim needs to be makel. So that's really not a hard question at the end of Tosfos. The only reason I even bring up this question is because, according to the other explanation of this line, the question doesn't need to get off the ground in the first place. So what are other explanations of Shani Heichol Dilatoho Asoy? What are the other explanations of what's going on here? So the Tosfos Rashbi Shantz gives a sort of funny explanation of, you know, why Shani Heichol Dilatoho Asoy. What did the Tosfos Rashbi Shantz say? Exactly. The Tosfos Shantz, in the end, he likes the regular answer better, says, Ein Me'ila Mechover, he considers this to be Mechover. He says there's no Me'ilah Mechover. Then he explains what does that do with Shani Hechel Dotoko Asoy. Right? He says there's no Me'ilah Mechover, and I guess what he means is that since there's no Me'ilah in Mechover, therefore the Rabbanim only goes there on like the main ways, not the Ein Me'ilah Mechover. You have to add, V'Rabbanim Gozru Al. Toko. Yeah, the Xavier Darabana, the Toko Osoy, since the main point is for the inside, the Darabana where it goes there that, okay, no one should have an off the inside. But since it's not real Mechubber, the Darabana where it goes there in everything. There only goes there in the main things, on the main purpose. Therefore, if you're sitting in the shade of the Hekel, there's no problem, but the Iker reason is because there's no Me'ilo Ben Mechubber.
You have to say the same thing for Asherah.
What?
The Asherah is only the Darabana.
No, because an asherah, well, this depends, but if you planted it for the sake of being an asherah, then it would still be usher, even though it was mechover. Or you'd make various okimtas to get this asherah to be usher from mechover. Like, for example, what if you pruned it and let it regrow for the sake of Avodah Zarah, etc.?
It's not
an
ilah.
What?
No, it's just a sort of. So
he's assuming, and this is a big question, that Me'ila and Israel of Hector are the same thing in different words.
No, I'm saying the Kasha from
Asherah. Oh, exactly. No, but he's saying there's also din that there's no Avodah Zarah ben Mechover. I'm saying, okay, there are many ways around that. You can have a Hechi Timsa of Hechi Timsa of Avodah Zarah ben Mechover. Let's say you plant it to be an Asherah or other cases. Right, he was just one step ahead. He was saying there's also no Avodah Zarah ben Mechover. So the answer is, okay, there are cases where there is Avodah Zarah ben Mechover. Okay, that was a technical answer. You know, I'll only bring that because I want to contrast something with it a little later. But the most interesting, what are some other interesting answers here? What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? Right? Rabbeinu Chananel says, He says, clearly for Rabbi Hanano, like there's no issue of Ashira. For all the other answers, you don't start asking Ashira. I know Schreiber did for the Rosh Hashanah, but really don't, because that's a separate issue. There's nothing to do with Me'ila. For Rabbi Hanano also, there's nothing to do with Ashira. In an Ashira, what ways of using Ashira are us are always. But what does Rabbi Hanano say? Shani Hichel Toko Asoi?
Same on the outside is not
Kodesh. He's not saying the Mutter kind of Hanah. He's saying that Tzel is not a chefter that's kadosh in the first place, right? Meaning, what does he mean by this? In Asherah, it's not up to you what's kadosh, what's not kadosh. Doesn't matter what it's osoy. Sorry, I don't mean kadosh. In Asherah, it's like the objective chefter shal Asherah, right? But who cares what it's osoy in Asherah? But in Hekdesh, it depends what it's osoy. The things that's osoy are kadosh, and the things that's not osoy are not kadosh. So, for example, the sail on the inside of the Heichal is kadosh, and the sail on the outside of the Heichal is not kadosh. Okay, now my only question is, what does this Rinnah Hananel mean? Like, why is the sail not kadosh? I mean, it's not really, the sail is not really so much the issue. Isn't it the Heichal that's the issue? What does it mean that sail isn't kadosh? Like, why is the sail not kadosh? So fine. The main point of a building is to go inside it. That's clear. When I build a Heichal, or when I build any other building for that matter, the reason I'm building it, the reason it's Asoy, is for people to go inside. Not for people to stand next to it. But why does that make the Tzel not Kadosh? What does he mean by that?
Well, we thought it was the same as Maruch Halav, where he discusses that Chazal, or whoever's being Makdish, they have certain plans of what's going to be Hekdish.
Exactly. Okay, so... so one answer is the Maharam Kolava, and I'll use a phrase that he doesn't use. But all the Achronim use this phrase, and they discuss him. Right, there's a phrase found all over Shas. Lev Beis Din Masneh. Right, this is found all over Shas. Lev Beis Din Masneh. That Beis Din makes the Tanai, but they're not to certain things that have very, very complicated limitations in the Hekdesh. Right, for example, right, the Tamidin. Right? When the Beis Din is Makdish, again, I don't necessarily mean the Beis Din themselves goes and finds the sheep. It means that everything's being done under the authority of the Sanhedrin. Right? When the Beis Din is Makdish, the animals for the Tmidim, they have in mind that if they're used for Tmidim this year, they should be Kadosh. But if the year ends, then you can't use the same Tmidim but with the old Shkalim anymore, then they're not Kadosh. Right? They have all kinds of very complex conditions built into the Hekdesh, which you and I might not have in our minds. But Beis Din has a very complex lathe, and therefore Beis Din is very sophisticated, so they make all kinds of special tanoim in their Hekdesh. So if the Heichal was built on Das Beis Din had in mind that it should only be kadosh for the inside, not for the outside. Now, just like I can sell you, right? I can sell Yeshua my dekel, right? What can I say? I'm selling you my dekel, you can eat all the dates, but I still get to sit under and enjoy the shade. Am I allowed to do that? Sure, I can make any condition I want. I can make any complex contract I want. So when Beis Din was Makdish the Heichal, they were Makdish it for the inside to be Kadosh, but for the tail on the outside not to be Kadosh. Late Beis Din Masneh could be. That's clearly what Ramayim Chalava says. In the Rabbeinu Hanano, it's a little less clear. It's a little less clear exactly what he means by that tzel is not kadosh. Not so clear what his point is in saying that tzel is not kadosh. But what he might mean is, in terms of the toko asoy, what he might mean is this. Rav Lichtenstein once, and I've seen this in a lot of modern day Rosh Hashivas. Everyone knows the famous chakira, right? Like basically saying if it's something's not also in the kach, it's not kadosh. So it couldn't leave Beis Din Masneh. Beis Din made a tanai. But it could be, you don't have to add in a tanai like Maharam Chalava. Because there's a classic hakira in the Achronim. You open up Rabbi Yosef Engel, you open up Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, you open up Rav Chaim, even though he really only likes one side of this hakira. And they say, is Me'ilah Midin Gezel? Or is Me'ilah Midin Isser Hanah? Basically, they're trying to like fit Me'ilah into some pre-existing framework. Either we have a framework called Choshen Mishpat, which is all about Gezel, so this is Gezel, just the victim is divine. Or we have a framework of Yisuri Hanav, Basu B'cholav, and Orla, etc. And, okay, and Avodah Zarah, and lots of other things. So, okay, just here, it's a different Chetzah. But Rav Lichtenstein liked to point out a third possibility, and Sulaim Min Chasasher also said the same thing. I think a lot of people say this nowadays, which is the Gemara Me'ilah Daf Yud Ches says, has a funny drusha, which is not clear what it means. Okay, that's a whole vesechim of itself, what this drusha means, we're not going to get into. But they have an interesting drusha that says, Ki timol ma'al ein ma'al el shinoi. Me'ilah only means shinoi. Like it says, is ish ki sistei shtom all over ma'al, like adultery, is a shinoi. The ne'amar v'ayimol v'lekev v'seihem v'yiznu acharei ha've'olim. And Avodah Zarah, right, says, Me'ilah is used for a woman who commits adultery, or the Jews who commit adultery by worshipping Avodah Zarah instead of Hashem, right, it's also a mashal adultery. So it's a shinoi. Likewise, simol ma'al, Me'ilah is a shinoi. Now, what do we mean by a shinoi? Right, so l'chora, the point that the Avodah Zarah and the adultery, it's not really a model of gezel, right? The issue there isn't stealing anything. And if you want to, you could call it gezel. That's not the simple shot. And it's certainly not an issue of Isser Hanah, right? What's the issue? The issue is, like, basically, like, maybe you don't have to fit in some other category. Who says Me'ilah has to fit in together with Isser Hanah? Maybe like the Gemara says, Me'ilah is a category called Shinoi. And the thing it's most similar to are neither Gezel nor Isser Hanah, but Avodah Zarah and adultery. What's unique about those things? Shinoi means you are substituting something else for the rightful object. What's the problem with Nioh? The woman substituting someone else for her husband. What's the problem with Avodah Zarah? Right? It's that you're worshiping something else instead of Hashem. It's not that the guy is so bad. Maybe the guy's very wonderful. Right? But she's supposed to be loyal to her husband. And it's not that the Avodah Zarah is so bad. I mean, some it is. But that's not what makes it Me'ilah. What makes Avodah Zarah Me'ilah is because you're substituting sticks and stones, more fancy intellectual sticks and stones, for Hashem Yisbarach. So it could be that what's Me'ilah? Me'ilah means you're putting yourself in the place of Hashem. This is supposed to go for Hashem, and you're using it for yourself instead. Shinoi. Maybe the answer is just shinoi. It's not that you're stealing, and it's not that you're getting hanah from something. It's that you're taking something which is supposed to be for Hashem and using it for yourself instead. Like the woman who's taking what's supposed to be for her husband and giving it to the paramour, or the Jews, unfortunately, in Sefer Melachim, who took their worship, which was supposed to go to Hashem, and gave it to, Hevel v'Tohu. So if you understand that in Me'ilah, in addition to sort of the classic, you know, brisker achronish hakira of Gezel versus Isser Hanah, which the Rav also, he talks Gezel, Isser Hanah, anytime you catch him talking about Me'ilah, he's working within the classic brisker. But there could be something called Shinoi. What does Shinoi mean? Shinoi means the problem is using it for myself instead of Hashem, taking something for Hashem and using it for me. If you say that, then Rabbeinu Chananel makes a lot of sense. Right? Min Chazashu points this out. Then Rabbeinu Chananel makes a lot of sense. He says, what's the point of Asoi? Who cares about Asoi? In Hekdesh, we care about Asoi. What something is Asoi for means that's what's supposed to be for Hashem. If I use it for me instead, that's Shinoi. But if it's not Asoi for something, then that's not a Shinoi, because I'm not putting myself instead of Hashem. It wasn't meant to be used for Hashem in that way. So when I build a building, it's meant to be used for Hashem on the inside. The inside of the building should be a place where people can use the protection of the building to do avodah. Right? And therefore, if I go inside and use the protection of the inside of the building just for my own personal comfort, then that's Shinoi. Right? Or clearly, in case where I actually take the ba'en of something, there's an animal, and that was supposed to be a carbon to Hashem, and I take it and ride on it, then that's Shinoi. But if it's not Asoi, right? Shana Hilatova Asoi, if it's not Asoi to cast shade outside of itself, that means the shade outside of itself was never meant to be for Hashem. That had no purpose of Avodas Hashem. Therefore, if I use it myself, that's not a Shinoi. So I think that there could be two ways to understand this Rabbeinu Chananel. Is that since it's not Asoi Lekach, it's not a Shinoi, and the Gemara Me'ilah said, Ein Me'ilah El Shinoi, that maybe all the briskers are wrong, And maybe there's a third way of understanding Me'ilah. If you took this third way of understanding Me'ilah, then Rebbeinu Hanan would make perfect sense. You wouldn't need Leiv Beis Din to be Masna. You would just say, what it's Asoi for is a Shinoi. What it's not Asoi for, that's not a Shinoi. It was never meant for Hashem. How could it be a Shinoi? Right? If a woman doesn't have a husband, then she can't commit adultery. Or if there was something which wasn't meant to be given to the husband, let's say the woman, I don't know, she was a very skilled weaver, but she's not supposed to weave dafka for her husband, then it's not a Shinoi, she weaves for someone else. It's only a Shinoi if it is supposed to go to the real source. If it's supposed to go to the real Adon, and you take it for yourself, that's a Shinoi.
And there's
It could be even that's what the Maram Chalava means. I admit you're right. There are some Achronim say Leiv Beis Din Masneh. For example, the Shar HaMelech uses that phrase. When he quotes the Shita, the Shar HaMelech is in Yisodei HaTorah Perek Hei Halacha Ches, like by the Lav Keder Chanasa. Right? So, I'll always take all the help I can get. Then he said, even the Rishonim, all the Rishonim go either way. You could go the Shar Melech's way of saying that if Leiv Beis Din Masneh, that clearly, he used the word Leiv Beis Din Masneh, that's where I got it from. Or you could take, and then Chaz Asher says this, based on the same idea here with Lichtenstein, and a lot of other people nowadays have taking this Shinoi Gemara very seriously, that if it's not Asher L'kach, you can't call it a Shinoi. That's how the Minchas Asher explains the Rav. So there are two ways to understand Rav Hanan, Shar Melech, Leiv Beis Din Masneh, to use a technical external tanai, or the internal fundamental explanation, that the Minchas Asher likes very much, based on this idea of Shinoi, based on taking this Gemara of Shinoi as very crucial, said it's not a Shinoi, it's not also a Kach. Okay. Yeah, I am moved. It's a simi that the Maram Cholova could go either way, as could Rav Hanan. Agav, I'll just point out briefly, there is a fourth possibility brought up in the Rishonim, which Rabbeinu David really likes. What does Rabbeinu David say about why this is mutter? What does Rabbeinu David say? Interestingly, in the end, he's not so clear that he's willing to rely on it. He says, "Tell is just not hana." He says, "What do you mean tocho asoi?" The tocho means you're actually using the building. You're entering into the confines of the building. That's hana. He says, "Asoi is not a matter of what the intention of the hektish is, and it's not a matter of what's normal or abnormal. It's a matter of are you." In contact, are you using the object or not? The toch, are you using the object? When you go inside it, even though I'm not touching, I can walk inside without touching the walls or the floor or the ceiling. When I go inside, I'm using the building. That's hana'ah. When I sell is not hana'ah because all it is that the sun is blocked. I'm not getting anything from this building. Sell is just not hana'ah. It's just that the sun is blocked. That's not hana'ah. Walking into the building is hana'ah, because I'm inside the structure. That's hana'ah, to be in the building. But the tzel of the outside is not hana'ah. It's not hana'ah at all. It's not even hana'ah shemo kederech hana'ah sun. Tzel is just not hana'ah because, what am I getting? Just the sun's not shining on me, but I'm not doing anything with this building. That's a radical idea. He says, according to this, you could also walk in the shade of a church. Right? Because it's not hana'ah to get tzel. You can't walk inside. You can walk in the shade of a church, not hana'ah to get tzel. Which is the opinion of, and you have to explain Asherah, because Lechorah, right, yeah. What you have to say for the Asherah, this gets a little tricky, because of the issue of Tzel Tzila, but you might say that the Asherah is different. Here it gets a little tricky, because if it's also to give Tzel, then maybe that's considered more of a conflict based on a chesed, or you have to say it's only also to like mamish be under the Asherah, which is, seems to be machlokas there. But this is a very radical idea, which in the end, he's not willing to be somech on. He's not willing to be somech on the fact that you can like walk in the shade of a church. Because tzel is just not hana'ah, but it is, you know, an attractive thing to say. I mean, it's not so crazy to think that maybe that's not hana'ah at all, because what am I doing? I'm not doing anything with this building. It's just blocking the sun for me.
The garden, the Yosahara, that blocking the sun?
No, but I'm wearing the begadim, meaning I'm having contact with the begadim.
Why is contact with the
begadim? So that is, it could very well be that is, you know, one of the ways in which one of the reasons why not a lot of people are reading David, even where David himself said, I'm not willing to pass this way to Maisa because none of you shall agree with me. Even though he liked it theoretically, intellectually. Why did it make a difference if I go inside the building or I have the tail of the outside of the building? So somehow you have to say something like that it depends how I'm getting the tail. What do you have to say? You have to say if I'm getting tail by if I'm getting tail I think that's by contact with the Chepta, then that's Hanah. That's what you have to say. If I go into the building or I wear the clothing, that's Hanah. But, sell without using the Chepta is not Hanah. You have to say something very subtle, which may be the reason most people didn't agree with him. I mean, if you just said sell is not Hanah, that would be Gevalt, right? That can make a lot of sense. Blocking the sun is not Hanah. The problem is that it's usher walk under the Asherah, and it's usher, and it's only the chutzalo that seems to be okay. Like the tzel underneath something is clearly usher. So you have to be very subtle, and you have to say, well, there's two ways of getting tzel. You can get tzel by using the chetza, by going inside, or by putting on clothing, or by the way it's usher l'kach, and that's considered to be using the chetza. Or you could get tzel without using it, you can coincidentally get tzel. When you coincidentally get tzel, that's not hanah. When you get tzel by contact with the chetza that is hanah, that is very subtle because, you know, who's to give you the right to make a skillet? Which may be why a lot of people don't agree with it.
Not an umbrella.
So an umbrella, he would admit that's usher, because you're holding the umbrella. And he might even say if you walk under the umbrella, that's usher. But if you're near the umbrella and it's casting a shadow on you, you know, then that would not be hanah.
I don't know, or who said it, but the four amos next to the doorway or something?
That's what he admitted, four amos within the doorway is still considered to be like, no, that's like where, I assume he means, because that's also the kach. Whenever it's also the kach, then you're really like using the chetza. When it's not also the kach, then you're not using the chetza, and that's not considered hanah. But I admit that that's a big fetish. And obviously every building is meant to give shade as you're walking in. So, right, meaning as you're walking in, you're within the... keep you within the usage of that building. But you're right, that's a big finish. If it's also the chetza, if I'm using the chetza in the normal, if I'm using the chetza the way it's supposed to be used, that's considered hanah, even though I'm just getting shade. But if I'm coincidentally getting shade, that's not hanah. That's a big finish, which is why it's a minority shita. Okay, this is the first line of the Gemara, but I want to come back to this line of the Gemara. Should have zeroed something. Fine. After we get to the next line of the Gemara. So let's go on in the Gemara a little. And then we have basically four ways of understanding Shani Hechot Latoko Asoi, two of which are more mainstream. Are the Rebbeinu David, he says, a little too radical. And as we've seen, the Svara is a little tricky. You have to say that the same thing, just blocking the sun, if I'm blocking the sun by using it in a way that I'm really relating to the Chetza, that's Hanah. If I'm blocking the sun in a way that's not really relating to the Chetza, that's not Hanah. That's a little tricky. And what he would say is, if I'm within four amos of the Pesach, or I'm inside, I'm not just blocking the sun. I'm putting myself within the protection of this building. I'm putting myself inside the building, even for almost the Pesach. That's Hanah. But if I'm just standing on the outside and having to cast a shadow, that's not Hanah. That's very difficult. The Tosfos Shas is also very hard to like read that into the Gemara. The two main pshat are either just a limitation of the Hekdesh, either because of the late Beis Hamasna reason, or because of the Shino reason, or because it's Lo Keder Hanasan, which we'll come back to. Now let's read on a little more. Amar Ravim, no Aminala. How do I know that E Efshar V'Kamachamim is Aser? Detnan Lulan Hayupsuchin Baliyas Beis Kodesh Kedushim Behem Shalshul To Umne Betevish Lo Shidu Zuno Name Beis Kodesh Kedushim. Right, they had little skylights in the Kodesh Kedushim that if workers needed to go to repair it, they would lower them in boxes so that they shouldn't see the Kodesh Binene from seeing the Kodesh Kedushim. Here it's not Efshar. I mean, why do they need a box? If I just go in to fix things, it's not efshar for me to not look. So even if I'm a chavi, what's the problem? What's the case? A classic workman who goes in without a box would be efshar, right? It's impossible for him not to look. And kamachavi, he might have kavana. And we see that's a problem. So that proves the efshar kamachavi is also like rov against the bayi. So v'tizbra, bayi responds, what do you mean? Marit, like kolvarit, doesn't have me'ila anyway. That's not the problem. Ela milos v'skoshi kadoshim. Rather, this doesn't prove anything. Your claim to me is a real isser handog hektish, a real isser me'ila. You're claiming to me this is a real isser me'ila, because it's efshar v'kamachavin is asr. What do you mean? Marit is not me'ila anyway. It must be just a special mile in kodshi kadoshim. Okay, we'll come back to the discussion what this is. But we have this principle that kol mavareach has no me'ila. Ikadami or Rav, no me'ila. The Tanya Rishim and Pasim Rishul, the name Rishimar Kabar, Kol Mar Reach, Ain Ben Mishima'ila. Now Rav is a different diyuk. He says, Kol Mar Reach don't have me'ila. I mean, it's a diyuk. Me'ilu Dalekoi Sur Ika. There's no me'ila, but there is an Isser. Right? There's no me'ila, but there is an Isser. My Lazos Om Dimifnim, Dul Eshikom Achavin. What's the Isser? The Isser must be for the people inside the Beis Hamikdash, inside the Azara. If they smell the nice smells, it's Efshar. They have to go there for some reason. But kamachavin, they might have kavan, and that's when there would be an isser, no me'ila, but there would be an isser. That proves the efshar kamachavin is usser. And Abai answers back, lo lo'osan omdim bachot. No, it's for the people outside who are efshar. I mean, they don't have to walk where they can smell it. They're just strolling by. So it's really only the people who are strolling by who is usser, because they're efshar, but efshar would be musser. Fine, so everyone manages to defend themselves. One of the interesting things that has come up here is the idea of ha'isur ika. What do we mean by ha isura ika? What's the nature of this ha isura ika? Why is there an isra in kol marvareach? So, what is the majority opinion? Why there's an isra in kol marvareach? What's the majority opinion? What's the nature of this isra in kol marvareach? Anyone? What kind of isra is it? What kind of isra? What are the two kinds of isser? Okay, what kind is this? Okay, so what do most people say? Exactly. Most folks can assume that this is an isser d'rabbanan. Why is an isser d'rabbanan? Because even though you're really not, it's really not, doesn't count as anything. Kol marvareach is nothing. But, or at least kol marvareach, we'll see, it's a little more complicated. Kol marvareach is nothing, but it's a gzeira. After all, now I'll just look at or smell or listen to the hekdesh, and tomorrow I might take a piece home with me and make it into a paperweight. So therefore, it's a gzeira to keep me away from me'ila. They made this zera d'rabbanan. It's a big deal in the achronim. If you assume it isn't isser d'rabbanan, just in halacha l'maisa, there's a big deal in the achronim. Is this isser d'rabbanan only in Kudshim or in all Isurei Hanah? There is a minority opinion among the poskim that says that they only made this Isur Rabbanan in Kudshim. Who says that? I wrote it down somewhere. Here we are. There's a Masas Moshe, not Ramosha Chavroni, the Brisker, and a Shut Mahar Shag. Okay. There's a Shut Mahar Shag and a Mahar Shag and a Masas Moshe, neither of whom are very famous people, who say maybe they only made this Gzeir in Kutchim, but in regular Surah Hanah, Kol Mahar Mareach is totally Mutter. But the way we Paskin, it's like Rove Poskim, they know. All Isurei Hanah are like Kutchim here. There's no Me'ila, I mean, there's no Isur D'Oraisa in Kol Ma'ar V'Reach, but there is an Isur D'Rabbanan. Okay. However, what does Rabbeinu David suggest here? Simi? What does Rabbeinu David say here? Rabbeinu David, right? Didn't you read that to me last time? No, Donnie, was it you?
We actually were confused how he got
what?
We saw the people that said that the Rambam and Rashi were confused how he
Right, so he didn't quote the Mishnah.
I think it was clear to us that Rashi held that, but we didn't understand how he got it from the Rambam.
Okay, yeah, a little unclear. Where was it clear to you in Rashi? What does it mean in the line of Rabbeinu David that talks about this?
It was early in the second. It was right over here. Right here. Esther's number. See you underlined it.
Read. Ah, Masha Amar Gilu de Leka Yisur Ika Bisur de Raisa come read on. Read on. Right, there are many Rishon, most Rishon hold, there are many things. There are Asra not Asra de Raisa, just what do you mean there's no Me'ila? Technically, what does it mean there's no Me'ila, Yoshua? No, what does it mean there's no Me'ila? You don't have to give Karen Chomesh and Asha, right? So usually, what do we think when it says there's no Me'ila, but there's an Isser? There's no Isser Daraisa, right? Like Pater of a Lasser, right? But Pater, no Daraisa, there is a Drabana. But Rabbeinu says, no, there are many things. There's no Me'ila, there's no Karen Chomesh V'Asham, but there is an Isser Daraisa, right? Now, this is controversial itself among the Rishonim. Is it really true that there are many things like that?
And there's Hashir.
But many, Rishonim assume that, let's say, Mechubra, there might not be Me'ila, but there might still be an Isser Daraisa against Tosha Shansir, or, Kachim, or Kachim Kalim. There might not be Me'ila, but there might still be an Isser Daraisa. There might be many things where there's no Me'ila, but there could still be an Isser Daraisa. So what does Rabbeinu David say? Rabbeinu David say, and the Prima Gadim brings, he's not sure, right? He says that, what does it mean? There's no chiyuv me'ila, but there is an iser hana'a midoraisa. And therefore, they seem to assume that really kol ma'avariach are exactly the same as any other hana'a. Kol ma'avariach is a hana'a gomer, it's a total iser doraisa. It's just that there's no chiyuv me'ila. Now, if we were to assume this, why would that be? If you told me there's no Issa D'Oraisa, there's an Issa D'Rabbanan, what's the svara? The svara is that it's not considered anything, right? Ain't bo mamish, it's nothing. But the Rabbanan made a gzeira to keep you far away from Issa, right? That would make a lot of sense. Right here, the svara. The svara is pashut. Halachically, it's nothing. But that's what the Rabbanan do. They take things that are nothing, and they make a gzera on them to keep you one step away from Issa, right? Chicken and milk is halachically total regular kosher food. But Chazal didn't want you to get confused and eat meat and milk. So, kol ma'avariach is halachically not doing anything. It's a momamish. You're not being net at all. You didn't do anything. It's not hana'ah. So, our pasha, it's totally not hana'ah, but they made a gzera. It's not hana'ah, but it could lead to hana'ah. It's like chicken and milk. It's nothing. But you never know what it might lead to, right? Today, I'll get used to going every day to Beis HaMikdash just to listen to the nice instruments. And then tomorrow, I might take home a souvenir. Okay. Or whatever. I might, sit on the mizbeach. Or whatever it may be. Okay. But what's the svara of Rabbeinu David, which is also mentioned in the Tzad of the Prima Gadim? Right? What's the svara of this Rabbeinu David? I understand there are many things which might not have a chi of me'ila, but might still be usher. But like, why would this be one of them? So what does he seem to be saying?
Maybe you could say because he violated one of the two tracts.
Exactly. Maybe what he's saying is that the Isser is based on Isser Hana'ah. But the Chiyuv Me'ila is based on Gzeila. Again, sticking with the two classic tracts. Maybe you could say this, and I'll actually prove to you this is not just a maybe. This is actually a very reasonable thing to say. Maybe there are not two tracts. There's a difference between, we always assumed that until this moment, when we're from kindergarten until now, what did we assume? The answer to be netted from Hector, and the Chiyuv Me'ila is the same thing. Just one is telling you, like, look, I feel what you shouldn't do, and the other is telling you, Eved, what happens to you, right? If I were to tell you the Isser of Chilul Shabbos and the Chiyuv of Michal Shabbos, they're the same thing. Just one is what you shouldn't do, and the other is what happens if you did it. Right? They're the same thing. You're not going to find me a case where something's in a malach on Shabbos, but I'm not chayiv as a Michal Shabbos. No, it's the same exact thing. But maybe Me'ila, that's not true. Me'ila, maybe there's Tzvei Dinim in Me'ila. As a matter of fact, I could give you a list my arm long if she's in the Echorim El Tzvegim Megillah, which we'll see, because the famous Nesivus who starts the ball rolling is based on a Gemara later on that we'll get to based on regular mathematics this year in our session. But maybe this Tzvegim Megillah, the answer of Megillah is based on Isra Noah. Why? Because it's learned Milashon Achila, right? For Tosfos learned Chet Mitruma, which is learned of the Lashon Achila. And for the Rambam, actually, it's a different sheet. It says, from Musukha Lechol B'Sharecha Masar B'Gadchatsu B'Gadchatsu B'Sharecha B'Korkom B'Sonecha. It's the Lashon Achila, it's an Isra Noah. The answer is based on Isra Noah. But the Chiyav is not because you were Nana. The Chiyav Mi'ila is because of Zeila. After all, what is the most similar chiyuv to Me'ila in the Torah? What is it totally parallel to? Asha Me'ilos is totally parallel to what? To Asha Me'ilos, right? It's the exact same thing. Right, Nefesh. Right? What? Nefesh ki sechata umala ma'al b'Hashem. What's the puzzle talking about? That's something Asha Me'ilos. V'chikash v'amisol, v'chikadon, 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 v'chikadon. Right? It's the Sukkumar saying, right? The Sukkumar saying, say the exact same thing both times, right? So the Asham Me'ilos is for the Gzela Shabbat. But the Isra D'Oraisa is for the Isra Anah Shabbat. And therefore, what would make a lot of sense? It would make a lot of sense that Davar She'ein Bo Mamish, and what do we have here? Davar She'ein Bo Mamish can't be Gzela. But it is Hanah, and maybe that's the sheet of Rabbeinu David and the Tzad of the Prima Gadim. You're saying that it's not that Kolmar Vareth is not Hanah. It is Hanah. It's just not Gzela, because if I look at something, how could that be stealing? Now, I said if I went to stretch maybe you could. But if I look at something, that's not stealing. If I listen to something, that's not stealing. If I smell something, at least in this stage, that's not stealing. But it is being Nana. If I listen to the symphony, I haven't stolen anything. The sound waves are going anyway. Right? Right, the reflected light is coming off the beautiful painting anyway. I haven't stolen anything, but I have been Nana. So then it makes perfect sense that Me'ilu Delek of Alisur Daraisa Ika, because Mitzad Isra Noah is 100% Usher, Mitzad Zela is 100% Mutter. Now, what would be the Raya for this idea? One second. What would be the Raya for this idea that there's a fundamental difference in the Isra of Hektish and the Chi of Me'ilu of Hektish? If you just turn for one second to. For this Tzvei Dinim, turn to Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Turn for a second to Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We'll get to the sugya, right? So it's not like, don't misinterpret it. I'm not saying like this is the way to learn a sugya, like to just run through it and I'll point out two lines for you in 3 seconds. We'll get to Daf Lamed Beis. But just a little taste of it. Two dots in the middle. Tanur Bano, Ochel Truma Pasim Iksai, Vashalim Sakaren, the Eino, no, a little after that. Where it says Tanan at the end of the line. Vahak Tanan, two-thirds of the way down, start Tanan at the end of the line. Avashalom, where Eshi Eshbo Shal Prut, Achayv Tashlumen, Eshi Eimbo Shal Prut, Eino Chayv Tashlumen. Amr Lolo, Amr Shal Prut, Alinim Eila Bilvad. Avala Truma, Eino Chayv Shebo Ksayis, say the Shir of Me'ila Shal Prut. Tashlumen Me'ila Shal Prut, but Tashlumen of Truma is Ksayis. Okay, wonderful. But then, if we continue down this line of thought, to the top of the Lama Gimel of an Aleph, says, he did b'me'ila b'misa b'di Shemayim, Rebbe, he's a Tanya, he did b'me'ila, Rebbe, omer misa b'chamra omer b'azhara, my time to Rebbe, omer b'agar, omer chet chet mitruma. Rebbe learned this chiv misa b'di Shemayim from me'ila, chet chet mitruma, matrum misa b'me'ila b'misa, umina, matrum b'kzayas, not b'me'ila b'kzayas. Me'ila b'kzayas. Tos points out in Gemara, af me'ila b'kzayas, that it seems to be, he puts together this Gemara and other Gemaras, that the Isser D'Oraisa and the Chiyuv Misa B'di Shemayim is B'Kzayis, but he still admits that the Chiyuv Me'ila is B'Shavar Pruta. So Tosa says it's a very strange phenomenon, right? He says, hold on a second. If this is the Mandamar who holds your Chiyuv Misa B'di Shemayim for Me'ila's K'Zayis, then why are you Chiyuv Asher Me'ilos for Me'ila's Pruta? Right? It's a very strange phenomenon. But what seems to come out of this very strange, I'm not saying there are other ways to get around this, but what seems to come out of this very strange Gemara, as Tosfos points out, it seems to come out of the Gemara that the answer, which has a chiv misa b'dei shamayim, that is the kezayis. But the chiv of Asham Zelos is Bishavar Pruta, according to the simplest way of reading this Gemara. Which I admit, we get this Gemara, we'll see there are more complicated ways of reading the Gemara. But clearly, this is like Tosus points this out. So it's very interesting, it's very strange that you'd be chayav misa b'dei shemayim for a kezayis of hekdesh, but you're chayav the asham me'ilos for a pruta of hekdesh. Shouldn't it be that whatever you're chayav misa b'dei shemayim for, that's what you have to bring the asham to the chaper on? Right? Isn't that the way it works, right? The asham is probably for the, after all, chomesh is for misa b'dei shemayim in other areas of halacha, so shouldn't the chomesh be for misa b'dei shemayim here? So the answer is very pashat. All the achronim point this out. They say, no, we can have a deal to ignore later on that the Isser of Mila is one thing, and that's viewed in Isser Hanah categories of Kezias. But the Chiyav Asham of Mila is another thing, and that's viewed in Zela categories of Shor Pruta, and that would be a great riot for a Vayim David here. If the Chiyav Asham Me'ilos was a Shor Pruta, then there should be no Me'ila, no Chiyav Asham Me'ilos for Komar Vareach, because they haven't stolen any money. But the answer, which depends on the Kezias, which is based on the rules of Isser Hanah, that should still apply to Komar Vareach, because you're still being nether from something. So there are two fundamentally different ways of understanding how Isser Ika. It could mean it's not Hanah, but it's a Gzeira, or it could mean it's not Gezel, but it is Hanah, and I think that's kind of being David, and that would fit in with the Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Gimel about the difference in Kezias. Misa b'dei shemayim being b'kzayis, but the asham and chomesh being b'pruta.
Do you need to do both? Do you need to be nana?
That's a fascinating question. Means what we just said, if you're nana without zela, then it's still an isser without a chiv karbon. What if you're gozel without being nana? If you're gozel without being nana, would that still be a karbon, even if you haven't necessarily violated any lav? You know, why are you doing karbon without violating a lav? It's a fascinating question. So we'll leave that question for now.
What kind of case would that be?
I'm sure we can think of a case if we're clever enough.
We end up saying that Reach is by Torah's Achash and Asim Mitzvasa, so possibly that's also
a Torah's Achash and Asim Mitzvasa, I think it's too hard to say.
So that's a different type of Isser.
Yeah, that you would have to say differently. You'd have to say differently. Now, take one thing back, which we'll have the question again, but hold on a second. If this whole Tzvei Dinan, and this would be assuming one answer to Yaakov's question. Well, this might explain a strange line in the Achiezer. Sorry, I meant to Xerox it for you. The Achiezer goes back to the issue of Me'ilah Shalokidar Hanasan. It makes a pshara. This is Chelek Gimel Sim Pei Gimel. I apologize that I didn't even have the lashon myself. The Achiezer is an interesting shita on the Ilush Loki Derech Hanasan. We saw there were two shitas. The Achiezer has a pshara. There are many people who want to make a pshara. The Achiezer, Chelek Gimel Sim Pei Gimel, has two possible psharas. But his first pshara he wants to say, what's the pshara of the Achiezer? I'll write them up right on the board. Gimel, Pei Gimel, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but it's the same thing. He says that if you use the Guf HaDabar, then it's Aser even Shelo Kedar HaNasa. But if you don't touch the Guf HaDabar, then it's Mutter Shalom Kedera Hanasan. What is he saying? He wants to get all the Tosfim to work together. Tosfus by us says, the tail of the outside of the Heichel is Lo Kedera Hanasan Mutter. But Tosfim Zvachim says, to put the Chelev of a carbon on your Makkah, that's Aser Shalom Kedera Hanasan. So most people say it's Machlokes in Tosfim. He wants to make up sure. He says, no, if you're actually touching the Hekdesh, you're actually taking the Hekdesh and using it, that's for sure also whether it's Kederach HaNasan or Lo Kederach HaNasan. But if you're not touching the Hekdesh, you're just enjoying something, that's Mutter Shlo Kederach HaNasan. What's the Svar of the Achiezer? So I think, and this does tie in a little to Yaakov's question, I think it could be you could explain the Svar of the Achiezer based on the idea that we just said now. Not based on the specific idea, based on the idea of there being two aspects to Me'ila. What's he saying? If you're actually touching the Guf HaDavar, said that's Zela. I'm taking the Guf Dover of Hekdesh? Who cares how I'm using it? Of course that's other whether Kederach HaNasan or Lo Kederach HaNasan. Again, it's not based on there's an Issa Nechiv Me'ila, necessarily, or depending on the answer to your question. But this is the same Tzvei Dinim. If you say this Tzvei Dinim of Gezel Mishranah, then the Achiezer makes perfect sense. If I actually take the Guf HaDavar of Hektish and I use it, that's called Shoshal Midas Gazlin, that's Gzela. Who cares if I'm using Gezerach or not? It's Usher. But the Tzel Heichal I'm not actually taking. Tzel Heichal, the Heichal is the same. I'm not stealing anything. I'm just enjoying the Tzel. So then that's the Isra and Nah trap. And the Isra and Nah trap is a Heter of Shalom Gezerach HaNasan. So it could be that we've seen in our sugya, there are two places you could have this idea. There might be Tzvei Dinim of the classic Chakira. One place we see this idea is when it comes to Kolmar Vareach. Kolmar Vareach, according to Reinu David, doesn't have the Gezel aspect, that's what No Me'ilah, but does have the Isra and Nah aspect. And that's why it has an Isra D'Oraisa. Another place you can see the similar parallel Tzvei Dinim is in the Achiezer's shot of Shalom Gezerach HaNasan. We said, well, from Gezel perspective, Shalom Gezerach HaNasan should be Usher. From an Isra and Nah perspective, maybe it should be Mutter. The Achiezer says both perspectives are right. When you're actually taking the Hektish and using it, that's the Gezel track. Shalom Gezerach HaNasan is just as bad as Gezerach HaNasan. That's Tosfos Zvachim Sanhedrin. But when you're not taking anything, you're just enjoying the Tzel, that's the Isra and Nah track. And in the Isra and Nah track, there's a head of Lo Gedar HaNasan, and he says there's no steer between the Tosfosim. Okay, is that what Tosfos meant? I don't know. But that's clearly what the Achiezer meant. So we've seen two places in the sugya where it could be that there's Tzvei Dinim and Me'ilah, both a Gezel aspect and an Isra and Nah aspect. Okay, I think that's about all we have to say for the Me'ilah parts of the sugya for now. For the understanding of Me'ilah parts of the sugya. And again, all these questions we'll come back to when we get to more explicit Me'ilah sugyas as well, and we'll try and deepen them and broaden them. What? No. Now, let's talk for a second about the Shofar Shalola. Okay. So, what does our Gemara say? Kol has no Me'ilah, right? And again, according to most people, it's only us Drabanan. Why? So that's the next line in the Gemara says, right? The next line in the Gemara says, Gufa, Mishum, Rapasi, Mishum, Levi, Mishum, Arkavara, Kol Mar, Reach, Emush, Me'ilah, Reach, Emush, Me'ilah, Tanya, Fatim, Sars, Islam, Gol, Moslem, Super, Pukla, Reach, Lachaib, Reach, Lachaib, Reach, Lachaib, Elo, Rapak, Kol Mar, Emush, Me'ilah, Fishem, by Mamish, Reach, Lachaib, Shadal, Tamros, Me'ilah, Hol, Venasis, Mitzvah, so stop. So, Kol and Mar of no Me'ilah, because it's aimed by Mamish, Givaldik. What sugya is very problematic for this? What's the classic sugya that's problematic in terms of Kol? Exactly, what it's saying Roshan Dav Kofres. What? That there's totally Me'ilah in blowing a shofar of Hektish, except that in the end, why is it not Me'ilah? Because it's not Hana. But a Kol, you know, if a mitzvah was Hana, right? Let's say a mitzvah was Hana, right? Then that would be Me'ilah, right? So it is Shayach Me'ilah in a Kol, if you're Nana. It happens to be that the sound of a shofar is not Hana, because it's not a symphony, and a mitzvah is not a Hana. But it's a famous stira between Pesachim, Chavavim and Aleph, and Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavkesim and Aleph. Right, at a certain point, that Yom Shrua that I put in brackets has to go so far as to say it might be Machlokas, he has a few different theories. Might talk to be Machlokas, so you see Pesachim and Rosh Hashanah, whether a Kol has Me'ilah or not. Which is, again, not what we prefer to say.
Were we specifying Yom Shrua? What is that?
What's the Yom Shrua? Where?
What's the Yom Shrua?
Are you Jewish? Really? Oh, you guys must be very yeshivish. You never learn Moed. If you learn Rosh Hashanah, you learn the Yom Shrua. You never learn the Kapos Tamar, you never learn Sukkah. Okay. Tosefta Yom Kippurim. There's this book called Shemos Va'aretz, is the general title of the book. Which has been in three books by one of the big Gedolim from 200 years ago, but I forget his name, but I knew it once, which has three books in it. Yom Teruah on the Rosh Hashanah parts of Rosh Hashanah, not the calendar parts. Tosefet Yom Kippurim on the eighth parak of Yoma, meaning the non-kosher parts of Yoma. And Kapos Tamarim on the Sefer Sukkah. Right, so think like he wrote a book on all the Chagei Tishrei, in the Gemara on all the relevant parts to the Chagim, the way we celebrate them. And it's a very, very famous, very well respected. You really, I can't believe anyone here actually learned Maseches Rosh Hashanah without seeing the Yom Teruah, or learned Maseches Sukkah without the Kafas Tamarim, or learned Maseches Yoma without the Sefer Yom Kippurim. It must be that you're just very yeshivish and only learn Nashim Nazir. It's a very, very famous paper, so I apologize. If you look it up, did you try looking it up in the catalog and didn't find it on the Bima?
No.
Okay. It might be that, I bet it would say Yom Teruah, but it could be it would be under the title Shemos Ba'aretz. Anyway, so the Yom Teruah actually at one point says the Machlokes HaSugyos. But that's a little dark, so let's not go that far. So what's the classic answer of most Achronim? The Ur Sameach and most Achronim? What did the Ur Sameach answer? What? He says that why is a kol not me'ilah? Because, what does the Gemara say? Ein bo mamish, meaning listening isn't using a physical. What does mamish literally mean? I know sometimes we use, most of us just use mamish to mean like really, like I'm telling the truth. And okay, so people in Crown Heights use mamish to mean all kinds of things. But really, mamish just means like actual physical, like concrete, like an actual mamash really means substance, like it has physical volume and weight. That's what mamash really means. Mamash means something which is concrete, which is physically there. So, Dorsing, if I hear a symphony of Hektish, or of Avodah Zarah or whatever, that's not mamish, right? Because I'm just using the sound waves. I'm not using any physical objects. But, says the Ursamath, over here we're talking about listening. Listening is ein bo mamish, because sound waves are not mamish. But what is Rosh Hashanah talking about? Not listening, but what's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah talking about? Hatokeya b'shofar shel ola. Right? Meaning, if I listen to a shofar shel ola, that's not me'ilah. But that's tokeya b'shofar shel ola. Right? This is based on the deep many Rishonim make in the riff. That, well, some of them give other reasons. That if I'm mudr hanok from a shofar, I can listen to it on Rosh Hashanah, but I can't blow it. Right? So, the rabbi doesn't see it all that way. But blowing the shofar is yesh bo mamish. Very, very poshut. The heter is ein bo mamish, meaning I'm not using a physical item. I'm using sound waves. And sound waves are not mamish. But if I blow the shofar, I'm using the shofar, and that's yesh bo mamish. That is the Beis Lever Tzonei, a test of ein bo mamish. The chetz is ein bo, here the chetz is ein bo mamish, it's the chetz of sound waves. Over there the chetz is yesh bo mamish, because I'm using the chetz of the shofar. That is what almost all Achronim agree with. Right? Most Achronim agree with the, 90% of Achronim agree with the Ur Sameach.
This is assuming that your yotzei the mitzvah via the blowing?
What?
This is assuming that your yotzei the mitzvah shofar, sound?
Not necessarily, because even if I'm yotzei, you use the classic Tkiyas Shmiel on this, even regardless of the Tkiyas Shmiel on this, practically, I have to blow the shofar, right? Meaning practically, I need to use the shofar to blow it to get what I want. So even if the lunda says mitzvah shmiya, but it clearly it counts as anah to use something to get the result that I need to get.
In other words, I'm getting anah from the blow.
Reaction secretion.
What?
Reaction secretion. I can smell the bozar smell. Give secretion. I need it practically. I need the ma'isa.
No, but I don't need the Reach of Avodah Zarah to get to the hardware store. That's just coincidence. Over here, I need to blow the shofar to make the sound that I'm hearing.
I need the smelling to get the Avodah Zarah smell. Even though the Isser is Hana, I still need the smell.
Ah, okay, so it could be that you won't go there. That's fine. Doesn't have to fit in with that. But the tricky part here is the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam says, I'll read you a Rambam, which you have read already. I'll just read the end part. V'chein shofar shel ola lo yitkavo v'yemtaka yatsa she'ein b'kol din mi'ila. What does he say? There's no mi'ila. He says there's no mi'ila if a guy did what? What did he just say? V'chein shofar shel ola lo yitkavo. You shouldn't blow the shofar of Hektish. But if you blew the shofar of Hektish, you're yotzei because ein b'kol din mi'ila. Rambam just said ein b'kol din mi'ila, even if you blew it. So the Rambam clearly doesn't ask the Yer Sameach. It's a little funny. Yer Sameach is a parish on the Rambam. And the Yer Sameach Gufa discussing the Gemara. The Yer Sameach is not in Shofar Aleph Gimel, but he's discussing the same Gemara that is the source of the Rambam Shofar Aleph Gimel. Okay, so that's a third hand. But simple shot in the Rambam is that the Rambam obviously doesn't hold this way. Because the Rambam says that even blowing has no me'ila. Even blowing has no me'ila. And then he goes on to say, but wasn't it Hanah when he heard the sound? No, it's lovely Hanah Snitu. And then he says the same thing, yeah, the fika hamudra nami shofar mutter lich koa both kia shomitza. If you're mutra enough from a shofar, not only can you listen, you can even blow it. Right? If you're mutra enough from a shofar, you can blow it. So, what's shot of the Rambam? The Rambam this doesn't work for. This doesn't work for the Rambam. Because the Rambam said there's no difference in listening and blowing. Even blowing the shofar is not me'ila. Right? He says even blowing is not me'ila. Right? That's pretty clear. Even blowing is not me'ila. So what's shot in the Rambam? So, this is a very perplexing Rambam. And I think you have to say a big kiddush for this Rambam. I found this also in the Michas Asher here. It doesn't work for the Rambam. Because for the Rambam, blowing, he just said, Im takabo ein bekol me'ila. If you blew it, that's not me'ila. So clearly, what do you mean if you blew it, that's not me'ila? If you blew it, isn't that mamish? So that's not what the Rambam says. So what do you have to say for the Rambam?
The Halakha Mishnah says that in Yehudah, you both have an Isser Darabanan, in both Sugyas, but here, since in the end of the day, it's Mitzvah Slavah Yehudah, so it's Mitzvah.
Hold on, but the Lechem Mishnah is not going to help. Not going to help in this case. The Lechem Mishnah is explaining something else in the Rambam. Why does the Rambam say two things? There's no Meila and this lovely Hanus Nitnu. So there's no Meila on a Deraisa level,
right. But
to get rid of the Rambam, he says lovely Hanus Nitnu.
Right, but it's not a steward of Sakham anymore.
But sure it is, because why is there no Deraisa here? Because it's not a steward of Sakham. It's a steward of Rosh Hashanah
Chavches. I'm saying there's no steward between the two Gemaras. He reads the this way. He thinks it's Dakum, but sounds like you can read this into the Shaka Mataria in Rosh Hashanah, meaning that Rava said, first of all, Rabbi Yehuda, you're wrong, because really there should be Me'ila, and then there's like a phantom step of like, but really it's Masajar Adam, and anyway, then come back to the real words of the Gemara.
Was he reading that into Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah?
It was in the previous step in the commission. I don't know if he's carrying it over. It didn't sound like he's carrying it over, but...
I think really what he's saying is more similar to what the Yom Teruah was saying, that yeah, the Gemara over there was going not according to the Gemara Pesachim. You're saying you could read into the Maskana there.
Rambam fits with both Gemaras and Maskana.
Right, the Maskana. But in the Shaka Vatari, at least, it's difficult. So you're right. One way of reading how the Rambam deals with these Gemaras is that at least it's a machlokes, at least in the halving of the Gemara. Right? That it's a machlokes. Machlokes hasodios, lefachot, at least in the halving, it's a machlokes hasodios. And this is the Lecha Mishnah. Whether he thinks the change of Moskva is not so clear, and the Yom Teruah. So, could be. But I think that maybe
what
you're willing to be.
Question of the Rambam?
What exactly
are we asking on the Rambam?
We're asking on the Rambam if there's no difference between listening and blowing, then how do you resolve this theorem of the sogios? The answer is the machlokes of the sogios. So I thought maybe, though, you could, I found that Minchas Asher said this. It's a bit of a chiddush. Maybe you could have a totally different way of understanding Kolmar Vareya, Ein Bahem, Mishum Me'ila. This is a big chiddush. Maybe you could say, what's the difference in Pesachim and Rosh Hashanah? The difference isn't whether you're blowing or listening. Because the Rambam is not machalotim blowing and listening. Right? The Rambam is not machalotim. There's no difference between blowing and listening. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam, maybe the difference is that here we're talking about aesthetic hanah. What are we talking about in Kolmar Rech here? We're talking about it's a beautiful artwork and a beautiful symphony. In Rosh Hashanah, what are they talking about? What kind of hanah? Which is
spiritual mitzvah.
mitzvah hana. Limaskana mitzvah lav lehomis, right? But clearly, meaning here we're not adding anything. The Gemara was at first saying this was lehomis nitu. So what are we saying? We're saying maybe aesthetic hana ain bo mamish behana. And yesh bo mamish behana, not bechetza. Behana, the hana of looking at a beautiful picture, that there's nothing in the hana because you don't actually get anything out of it. It's just an aesthetic appreciation. The hana of hearing a beautiful symphony ain't bo mamish because it's just an aesthetic appreciation. As opposed to the hana of getting a mitzvah, if we would hold mitzvahs lehanos to you, that would be a tremendous hana because you get olamos ve'olami olamos. And the Rambam, so therefore, what did the Rambam say? The Rambam says, if you're talking about the aesthetic hana, whether you blew it or listened to it, ain't b'kol din me'ila. And if you're talking about the mitzvah hana, that would have to be a problem, but we hold mitzvahs lovely hanos tenu. And maybe that's the way to read the Rambam, that he says, maybe that's the way to read the Rambam, that out the hana, just hearing the sound, nah, hearing the sound is ain't b'kol din me'ila, whether you blow it or you listen to it, because it's nothing to just hear a sound. The mitzvah's lovely hanos tenu.
So why is it still usher to the chatzilah according to the Rambam?
Because Komar Vareach are still asking your bonus, even though there's no mamash in the hana. Now, if you, it's still an issue of okay. Now, this would explain something very, very interesting, which is, when would you have thought the Gemara should say Imbo Mamash in our sugya? When it got to Kol and Mara? When should the Gemara have said Imbo Mamash and Ain Bahemishim Ilan Arsugya? Sale. Right? Sale is like less mamish than Kolamara, no? Is there any mamish in sale? What about sale?
Is it body? Is it
what?
Body.
Well, depends. I think that depends what you mean by Yeshbo Mamish, Ain Bo Mamish. According to thee, and this, according to thee, Derech that. According to the Pshat Derech, Ein Bo Mamish Yesh Bo Mamish means the Chetza is a Mamish. You actually have a Chetza that you're using, like smell is Yesh Bo Mamish, because you're actually inhaling the little, the smoke. Right? Then, Tzel, it's hard to call Tzel Mamish. Like, you're just not getting the sun on you. Then you would think that Tzel is Ein Bo Mamish. Tzel should be Ein Bo Mamish, and this is exactly the Shita of the Rabbit in the Kiryas Sefer, and a few other achronim. This is famous. No one had a Kiryat Sefer of the Mabit. You know what the Kiryat Sefer is? Right? So the Mabit wrote a book on the Rambam where he says, what's the Rice and what's the Rabbana? Evolved the Sefer. So no one had that in Europe, but it was in Rabbi Kiva Eger in Hilchos Avodah Zarah on the Yoredeah. So everyone knew it from Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger had a Kiryat Sefer. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Kiryat Sefer, and I think I also saw this in the Shar HaMelech, there in Yisodei Torah. This is Rabbi Kiva Eger, Kiryat Sefer. Say, Tzel is also Ein Bo Mamish. Yeah, Tzel is also Ein Bo Mamish. Of course, the whole sugya of Tzel, you're not really dealing with Nisha Doraisa. It's all this Isura Ika, because it's like Kol and Mara. But, the Rishonim on our daf never said Tzel is Ein Bo Mamish. Like, how about when the Rosh Hashanah is trying to figure out a way it wasn't really Me'ila, why didn't he just say Tzeling Bo Mamish, right? When the Rimeim David was, well, in the end he did. But when the Rishonim were in Me'ila, he was trying to figure out why there's no problem with Shloki Derech Hanasa. Why didn't he say Tzeling Bo Mamish? So it could be that if you take this Chiddush, then Tzel would for sure be Yesh Bo Mamish. Why? Because I'm Mamish being physically improved by being cooled off from the hot sun. That's not a hana of Ein Bo Mamish. That's a hana of Yesh Bo Mamish. That's a hana of Yesh Bo Mamish. And this might be, it's always hard to deal from silence, but Rishonim al Atar don't say anything about this. And so if you take this more Bechudish way of understanding Ein Bo Mamish, then you think Tzel is Yesh Bo Mamish. And that's why the Gemara and the Rishonim never said anything about Tzel not being real Hana.
This is just in the text for Asher saying Yesh Bo Mamish is just a manim. This verse says that Hana Sarek Yesh Bo Mamish is nichnas l'guf.
Right. So the Tosfos Rush, again, that Rashi, I guess we'll say with the Rashi, Rashi says something strange, that Reach in the end is Yeshbal Mamash, because the Torah, the Sammanim, the incense has Mamash. So that's a little strange, because the musical instruments also have Mamash. And the gold on the walls of the Kodesh Kodashim also has Mamash. But you don't get Mamash. So I'm going to assume that Tosfos Rashi really meant what the Tosfos Rush said. I can't imagine Rashi. I'm going to say that Rashi really meant what everyone who argued on him said. He meant the Sammanim have Mamash and they go into your nose. So clearly, yeah, Reach, but I think it could work either way. Either there's a Mamash Chetzik, because little pieces go in your nose, or the Hanaz Mamash, because there's Mamash something making your guf feel better. It's not just something that you have an opinion that it's nice. It's Mamash something physical in your guf making you feel better. No, but he might just mean that to nechlas guf, meaning if something nechlas guf, it has to be a piece, and if it's a piece, then it is Mamash. The simpler way, I think, is the first way. Anyway, so there are two ways to read Ein Bo Mamash. The mainstream way is Ein Bo Mamash Bechefta, Yesh Mamash Bechefta, that's a Pashup Shat. Then you have two results. Number one, you come up with the Ursa Mechskil, Gene Listening and Blowing, which works in Balvik. For the Rambam, you have to say it's Machlokes HaSugyas, which is Dachuk but possible. And for Tzel, you have to say, even though the Gemara and Rishonim never mentioned it here, Tzel is also Ein Bo Mamash. And that's the mainstream way. The Minchas Asher has this Mechonish way, which I think has something to be said for it, which that no, maybe it means the Hana has Mamash or not. If it's your opinion that this is nice, you have an aesthetic enjoyment, yeah, you think that's a nice picture, you think that's nice music, that's Ein Bo Mamash. If it's something physical, like a Reach going into you, or like food, or like Tzel, that's called Yesh Bo Mamash, or like Mitzvah, if you would hold the Hanus Nitnu, that's Yesh Bo Mamash. And that would explain, a different way of explaining the Stirachim Sakham Rosh Hashanah, and the Nafkamina would be that it makes no difference if you're blowing musical with the trumpet or listening to the trumpet. It just makes a difference what kind of Hanar you're getting. And then Tzel would be Yesh Bo Mamash, which would explain why no one ever said boo in our sugya about Tzel not being a real Hanar. But still, that's the more Mechudish way. Okay, so we've seen today, hopefully a lot, how to explain a few lines in our Gemara, some very important numbers about Me'ilah, and how that ties into our Sugya, how that ties into the rest of Shas we'll leave for later in the parent, and two ways of understanding Ein Bo Mamash, the more mainstream way and the more Mechudish way. We didn't get to Reich HaMilsa, but we have to catch up a little. So maybe on Thursday, even if I have to go a few minutes extra, maybe I will talk about Reich HaMilsa and a few other parts of the Sugya that I'll give you out the course on tomorrow.
And how are you telling the answers my question about why the Rambam thinks it's also the Chassidim? So he says because of the two tracks. Yeah, there's never turned off, but there's still this exhale. The exhale occurs at the Shkia, but not by the